Yeah, everything keeps on changing. And everything has its place. And everything keeps on changing. Everything but you. We greet our newborn children and say goodbye to our dying parents. We settle into the new neighbourhood and move away from our old friends. And everything keeps on changing. Everything but you. We kill off our rivals and our passions and our dreams and try to put a plaster on the pain. We wreck the ones we care for and erect a monument to our ambitions on the ruins. And everything keeps on changing. Everything but you. We weep like drunks for what love we have lost, and laugh like drunks for the love we have found. We weep and we mourn. We laugh and we dance. And everything keeps on changing. Everything but you. And we throw away what we later stoop to gather, embracing the sacred stones of wisdom that dropped from our hands in our youth. And everything keeps on changing, everything but you. And we look and we look and we look and we look for purpose and value and meaning until we're too weary and worn out and wasted to want to look anymore. And everything keeps on changing. Everything but you. And we keep what's precious and dispose of what's not, except for those of us with big attics or garages or sheds, because surely we'll find a use for it someday, mending what's torn up and broken. And everything keeps on changing. Everything but you. And sometimes we just have to be silent and stare at the face of a lover, at the place of wonder, at the grave of one who is gone. And sometimes we just have to speak and say, I love you. I praise you. I miss you. And everything keeps on changing. Everything but you. And we love and we hate and we fight and make peace. With our friends, with our neighbours, and our husbands, and our wives, and our parents, and our children, and our churches. Because everything has its time, and everything has its place. And everything keeps on changing, Lord. Everything but you.
Well, it feels like ages since I've been sat here sharing from the Bible. But actually, as I was preparing this, I was thinking back even further. I was thinking back to what was I doing 10 years ago. And 10 years ago, what I was doing was I was starting to look for jobs after university. I had a degree in economics and statistics. And I said to God, God, find me a job. I've become a Christian, so, you know, did that whole praying thing. God, find me a job, but any job but banking or finance. And Lord, put me anywhere. I don't mind having a job anywhere but London, because I really don't want to go to London because it's very big. I spent 3 months sending off job applications left, right and centre. And I didn't get a single invite back after the first interview for all kinds of people. I went around a meat processing place for their management training and had to go through the abattoir. Never going to do that again. All kinds of different things. And finally, on one Sunday, having no luck finding a job, God said to me, as I was praying, he said to me, "Your problem is you won't let me be in charge of your life. You won't let me be God. You keep putting conditions upon what I will do." So I said to God, "Okay, God, put me in any job, anywhere you want. Just give me the strength to do what you've got planned for my life." That was a Sunday. On the Tuesday, I went for a job interview for a job with a bank in London. And they phoned me up on Thursday and offered me the job. So that's what I was doing 10 years ago, having a lesson in letting God be God. What I want you to do is just turn to your neighbour or turn around and share, what were you doing 10 years ago? That's for those of you who did exist 10 years ago. One or two here who weren't even a glint in their parents' eyes. What were you doing 10? I could let you talk, but I get paid for it, so much to me. Now, that's what we were doing 10 years ago. Who wants to share? Everybody want to share what they were doing 10 years ago, if it's interesting? Or even if it's not interesting? Anybody? Nobody was doing anything 10 years ago. I know somebody had just moved to this parish 10 years ago. Yeah, that's what you were doing. That's what you shared, David, at the first service. Anybody else? Yes. Yorkshire. Whereabouts in Yorkshire? That's proper Yorkshire. That is. Wow. Fantastic. Anybody else? What were you doing 10 years ago? It's different. Yes? We're sitting here. The Harveys. What were you doing? You were in London looking at coming up to All Nations. And that kind of worked out? Uh-huh. So you're working at All Nations? Brilliant. Excellent. That's what we were doing 10 years ago. What will we be doing 10 years in the future? Now, I know that, I tell you what, I asked this question at the 9:15 and they looked at me. I thought, no, let's bite the bullet. Let's buy the bullet. In 10 years' time, I probably will not be here. It's very likely I won't be here. We'll be somewhere else. Who knows where we are. It's very likely, hopefully, that we'll have children by then. That's not saying anything. That's not saying. It'd be nice to have children by then, wouldn't it? My wife's going really small now, I think. Turn to your neighbour. What will you be doing in 10 years' time? What do you think? What will you be doing? Ooh, hello. Any ideas what you might be doing 10 years' time? Yes. Bring up teenagers. And may God's blessing be upon you. What will you be doing 10 years' time? Listening to another curate. And another one, and another one. Thank you for your support there, Paul Jackson. Paul Jackson, who causes pain for a living. Anybody else? What might you be doing in 10 years' time? Sorry? Wondering what you were doing 10 years ago. Richard hopes that he's retired in 10 years' time. I hope that I'm retired in 10 years' time, but I doubt it. I'm Church of England pensions. Pardon? I hope there's a Church of England left in 10 years' time. Where was I? Yes, I was preaching from Ecclesiastes, that's right. The writer of Ecclesiastes jumps right in with questions of time. And he jumps right in, if you pardon the pun, jumps right into the jugular. Because he says, there's a time to be born and a time to die. And when I asked the what will you be doing in 10 years time question in the 9:15, like one or two of you here were thinking, will I even be here in 10 years time? And Joan, who was sat right where Danny is, she gave me that. I don't want to think about that look, but in a kind of loving, you're the curate, so I can't be angry with you type way. But, you know, I might not be here in 10 years' time, in terms of I might not be living in 10 years' time. If you look at the verse in Luke, at the passage in Luke, Jesus talks about two examples of people who just suddenly died. There was the tower that just fell, and all the people in it died. Now, they weren't 80 years old. But probably a mix of people, like we are here. If we think about only 2 years ago, the tsunami, which killed hundreds of thousands of people instantly, like that, ruined lives, caused great mayhem. And people die. People are born, and people die. And the Bible does not pull its punches. Because as we learnt, didn't we, when we looked at the first chapter 2 months ago, the writer of Ecclesiastes, the teacher says to us, if you concentrate just on your life and trying to get the best out of it without understanding the eternal dimensions, you're going to screw your mind because it's all meaningless. But now what he does as we get into the book is that he starts to actually emphasize and concentrate on these different areas. And in chapter 3 he concentrates on this idea that we have a time to do this, a time to do that. A time to sow, a time to reap. What else does he say? A time to embrace, a time to refrain. A time to love, a time to hate. But ultimately, the thing that overrides it all, a time to be born and a time to die. And it's sobering. It's meant to be sobering. And the church has gone quiet. There's that hush, isn't there? This is serious business. This is serious business. That our lives one day will come to an end. And some of us in this church, we've seen loved ones, their lives end, even in the last few weeks. We know what this is about. We know the pain. We know the suffering. But is that the end of the story? Is that where life ends? Is it just a struggle? Is it just doing this and then that? Is it just up and down? Is it just having children, having grandchildren, and then seeing them go and that's it? Is that all that there is to life? What's the answer? And is it all just downs? You see, the writer looks at the world and he says, hang on a minute. It's not even as though God gives out good to those who are good and bad to those who are bad. Because he looks and he sees that there is injustice and there is evil. He sees it. And he says, what will happen? Will God do something about this? Is life just these ups and downs and all over, or will God do something about it? And the first thing that he's absolutely clear of, and we saw this 2 months ago when we looked at the whole of Ecclesiastes, when we were looking at 1, there is judgment. Life is not meaningless up and down. Where sin is in the world, where evil is, and the writer here calls it wickedness in verse 16, there is judgment and there is justice because there is God. And I felt when Bobby emailed me saying, shall we use this poem? I thought, that's brilliant, but you've nicked my sermon. And in some sense she has. Because what the writer of Ecclesiastes does time and time again is he brings you to the reality of the human situation in all soberness. He brings you to the brink of death in order that you will understand God's sovereignty over your life and God's love. Because right now, our lives are up and down. We have great days, we have bad days. We have great years, and we have bad years. And the wrong way of thinking, as a Christian, the wrong way of thinking is to think that our good years, our years of blessing, are somehow connected to what we have done. At the start of February, Virgin Cable TV gave us for free God Channel. Oh dear. I turn on God Channel. It's full of people saying, if you sow $100, then God will give you back $1,000. Absolute rubbish. If you sow $100, it will go into God's work. What will come back to you is what God has planned for you. It might be good, it might be bad. But God does not work in terms of those who spend 24 hours a day praying get the most blessings, and those who can give 1 minute's notice every week might occasionally have a nice thing happen to them. He doesn't work like that. And equally, as Jesus says, he doesn't work on the basis that those who are really, really, really bad get it all to them in this life. It doesn't work like that. And when you look at that, I think a lot of people in this country, in this world, look at how things don't actually add up. They see people who do good, who invest their lives into other people's lives, who bless people. They see them get little or no reward. And they see people who are wicked, as the Ecclesiastes writer here says, as the teacher says. They see people who are wicked receive in this life no judgment for their wickedness. And they say, where is God? What is God doing? How fair is that? But the answer is, as the writer of Ecclesiastes, the answer is that beyond the ups and downs of this life, there is something more. There is God and there is a future with him. So if you turn in this Luke passage, Luke 13. Somebody shout out again the page number, because I've got a different Bible here. Sorry? 1046. Look at this Luke passage. This is brilliant. Two examples of men and women who just saw evil happen to them. First was these Galileans. Now, we don't really know what this story is that Jesus is referring to. We think that there were some Galileans who were doing a sacrifice, but they somehow hacked off the Romans. So Pilate had them killed and then mixed their blood with their sacrifices' blood. But it's not nice. It's not nice. A dictatorial regime simply decided it wasn't going to have these guys, and it just killed them. The second example is even more cruel, a tower that falls down. Mentioned it before, probably filled with all kinds of manner of people. And then Jesus tells the story of the fig tree. And this is the clink to what's this story about? A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should I use the soil?" Very clear what he's saying. "Look, mate, I've phoned up Gardener's Question Time 4 times. They've told me what soil to use, when to water it, how to prune it. It ain't no good. The fig tree is not bearing fruit. And the fig tree is you and me and every single human being that walks on this world. Because we know that God lives. We know the truth about him. In Ecclesiastes, the writer says he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end of time. The fig tree is every single human being. We know what is true about God. Paul says in Romans that God has revealed himself in all creation. We know, it's obvious. That's why we get so upset about things that are wrong. That's why we like things that are nice. When somebody gives, you know, their entire fortune for a donkey sanctuary, we know that that's a nice thing. Prefer to give it to a curate's beer fund, but yeah, they want to do it to a donkey sanctuary. Fantastic. We know nice things when we see it. We know evil when we see it. We hear something on the news about murder or robbery or all kinds of things, and we know it's wrong. We know the truth of God and love. He set eternity. He set who he is in our hearts, but we just don't get it. And we walk away from him. If God was a God who simply said, do you know what? You've got your ups, you've got your downs. You've been up, you've been down three times. Up, down, up, down, up, down. You still don't get it. I've had it with you. I've had it with you. That would be a callous God. That would be a God who wasn't a God of love. But the truth about the God of love is this. Despite the fact that he gives us everything that we need and more, despite the fact that he loves us, we're like the fig tree, a lot of us. We just don't bear the fruit. We don't respond to him as we should do. And God's response is not to cut us down and get rid of us and replace us. This is God's response. Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig round it and fertilize it. I haven't spoken about Greek for weeks, so let me do a bit of Greek. The word here isn't fertilizing Greek, it's horse poo. There you go, you can share that at school tomorrow. It's horse poo. The Bible talks about horse poo. It uses a much more cruder word, but we can't put that in our English Bible because we have sensibilities. What does the gardener say? He said, don't cut it down. Even though it's not doing what it's meant to do, even though it's bearing no fruit, I'm going to do what's absolutely best for this tree. I'm going to give it another chance. And that's what the writer of Ecclesiastes says to us. He says, while you are still on earth, while you are going through these times, a time to heal, a time to sow, a time to reap, a time to embrace, a time to refrain, a time to weep and a time to laugh, realize that there will be a time when you were born and there will be a time when you will die, and before you die, recognize God. Because afterwards, there is no more time. That's what he's saying. He's saying, recognize God. And Jesus calls us to repentance. He simply says, look, realize that you're no better than anybody else. Through your ups and downs, you might have £1 million. If you do, please tithe. But you might have £1 million. But that makes you no better than anybody else. You might be going through a really bad time. You might be going through a time where everything seems to be going wrong. That does not make you any worse than anybody else in God's sight. Doesn't mean that God has turned his back on you. What it means is God is saying to you, let me be God. Let me be God. While you are still on this earth, let me be God. So what are we going to do about it? We're going through Ecclesiastes, one chapter a month for this entire year. And it is sobering. Ecclesiastes is sobering. I called it, I think two months ago, I called it, it's scripture to cut your wrists by. It is. It's sobering. And I make no apology for preaching it like it is. But I preach it like it is because it's the promise of God. The promise of God is for all those who wake up and realize that through the ups and through the downs, God is solid. And the best thing that we can do, as Ecclesiastes says, I saw that there is nothing better than that for a man than to enjoy his work, for this is his lot. Live your life, worship God, and turn to him. If you've never turned to God, if you've never seriously gone to God and said, do you know what? regardless of what is happening to me, up or down, I need to come to you and just say, I'm a human being, I get things wrong, I've offended you, I'm a sinner, to use that word, I need you. I'm sorry, I need you, I want you to be God. If you've never done that, the time to do it isn't 3 weeks in the future, isn't 4 years' time, when you've got time, when things are better, when God has demonstrated to you that he's a good God. The time to do it is now, so that you will put yourself in a relationship with a God who is good. One more thing to say. When Abraham and his father moved from what is now Iraq, and they came up what's called the Fertile Crescent and moved into Canaan, what is now Israel, they came from a society that just saw time as going round and round and round. Spring, summer, autumn, winter, and then another spring, and then another summer, and another autumn, and then another winter. When you look at the myths, at the legends of the people who used to live in Iraq, they have creation myths. They have the beginning of time, and then that's it. They have no concept of where life is going and where time is going. And what God said to Abraham was this: I'm going to take you out of this meaningless cycle. I'm going to take you out of a life that lives in despair, that thinks, do you know what? In 40 years' time, this is all over. And I'm going to put you into a future. I'm going to put you into a land. I'm going to show you that time is going somewhere. I'm going to show you that I am God. And despite what happens to you, up, down, despite the good things, despite the bad things, I am God, and I am saving for you a place, a promised land, a new heaven and a new earth that is where this cycle of round and round, up and down, is over. A place where it is all good, where it is all good, all loving, all holy. And my question to you is, do you know that you're going there? Is your life just spent going round and round? Is your life just a time to live, a time to die, a time to reap, a time to sow? Is that all it is? Or do you know where you're going when you die? Have you, as Jesus said, have you repented? Have you said to God, I'm a sinner? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word is blunt and straight to the point, but it tells us the truth. Heavenly Father, help us to reflect on this. Lord, if we have never, ever repented, if we have never recognized that actually we're sinners, help us to just say to you that we're sorry for what we've done, that we shouldn't have done. And Lord, if we live our lives as though you didn't matter, if we live our lives just up and down, just round and round in futility, not knowing what will happen tomorrow, only seeing death at the end, Lord, help us to see that beyond death is you. Help us to see, Lord, that when things are bad, you will be just, you will judge, you will hold everybody accountable. Help us to see, Lord, that you don't judge us on the basis of the good things we've done or on the basis of the bad things we've done. But Lord, you judge all those who have understood why Jesus came to die for us. You judge them on the basis of that acceptance of you. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you would transform us from men and women, from boys and girls who just live in a round and round, back and forth, up and down life, going nowhere, into people who understand that you are God, that you have laid out things for us, And that even when we die at the end of years of doing the work that you have given for us, we will, after that, we will not just fade into nothing. We will be with you forever in glory. Amen.